Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The city of Missoula bows down to the woke small g gods. We talked about Missoula now working to get around state law by making the rainbow flag, the LGBTQ, RST, WTF, whatever you want to call it, flag, their official city flag. What a bunch of woke left-wing nut jobs. Now, one of the good city council members on the Missoula City Council, Sandy Vasica, very common sense. She should be joining us later on in the hour. I think she's stuck in some meetings right now, but she said she's going to try to call in later in the hour, plus Governor Greg Gianforte weighing in. So we're going to talk about that and much more here on this Wednesday morning. But first up, it is great to have Montana's Commissioner of Political Practices, Chris Gallus, join us on the show. Chris, I think you've been on the job since about, what, January of 2023, and I think this is a good thing. What's so great is you haven't been dominating the news. People probably don't get to hear from you too often because you're just doing the job, and I imagine a good job at that, unlike some of your predecessors that abused their power in that office and were always in the news. Anyway, great to have you on the show.
Well, Aaron, thanks for having me. I think mostly if I perform well, I've inherited an excellent staff, very knowledgeable in what they do, how they approach things, and just a general good philosophy, I think, that we have to provide a customer service, help first, candidates and committees get the reports in, things that are required, the reasons that the office functions, and help people through that and kind of maintain that customer service focus. And they're really good at that. So if anything, just makes me look good, and I'm lucky.
Yeah, I have heard that from folks about the staff at the COPP, that they are always very helpful with people and try to help, because some of these reports and the processes are just can be very antiquated. But yeah, we've got in about 30 seconds or so, and then we'll talk about foreign influence and elections and more after the break. But in about 30 seconds, how would you describe your role as Commissioner of Political Practices?
Well, I think it's a lot like you alluded to initially. We exist to gather the information, make that available for the public so that they can make decisions using it. It's a primary function of the office. When that fails, we have our enforcement provisions, which I'm, happy to talk about now, or we can at another time. But those are the kind of the two functions of the office.
Yeah, basically, you've got to oversee all of kind of Montana's campaign finance laws and other transparency in the process type of initiatives as well. Well, hold that thought, Commissioner Gallus. I want to get your take on a new Montana law to block foreigners from funding ballot initiative campaigns. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I've got a couple of headlines in front of me right now. Here's one. This is the newest one that just came out a couple of days ago. This was written by the Center Square. I think it got picked up by the Washington Examiner, if I remember right. Watchdogs warn new Montana law restricting foreign money in elections is insufficient. Great to catch up with Chris Gallus, the Commissioner of Political Practices here. Commissioner Gallus, so I had a great phone call with Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls just about a couple of weeks ago, and I was seeing these headlines that, the good news is that Montana passed a law to basically to stop foreign influence in our ballot initiative elections. You know, people don't realize that, hey, foreigners can't, you know, contribute to presidential or congressional campaigns, federal elections, but for some reason they could still contribute to ballot initiative campaigns. And so Montana passed a law to ban it, but apparently the legislation got watered down. But as I was talking with Representative Braxton Mitchell, he said he believes that after talking with you that you've got some tools, you've got some capabilities as commissioner already under the law that will allow you to prevent this from happening. So anyway, I guess give us your take on this this bill that was signed into law by the governor, first off.
Yeah, so, you know, initially that wasn't our legislation or anything we did through the agency, so I wanted to point that out. But it was a very laudable objective, certainly one that we were in agreement with. Initially, it came out as a pretty simple bill as it's drafted. If you read, if you read through those that sequence, right. But along the way, there were several amendments that got into the bill that made it, problematic. It used too much, in my opinion, cans of verbiage from other states, things like. So we just didn't use in Montana. Ultimately, I decided the best approach was kind of a simple approach, duplicate the same prohibition that currently existed as it related to candidates, which, as you point out, is a federal matter, gets referred. But even that federal law includes state and local candidates, right? So we have it in the Montana Code. We basically mirrored that effort and then kept the existing enforcement mechanism because that's what stood the test of time. And it's been those terms and our procedures have been through, federal court analysis, the Ninth Circuit, and in some instances, even the Supreme Court during that post-Citizens United period and the like. So I'm comfortable with the terminology that we had, the structure that we have, and I wanted to keep that as much as possible. And so that's really what we did in terms of, our suggested changes to Representative Mitchell's bill, which were ultimately adopted and signed by the governor. And that was really our approach to it. And I do think that it's, overall that it's something that the office can enforce. We receive a complaint on. We will investigate that complaint thoroughly like we do on all the other complaints that are, received. And, we'll go through, kind of the normal and established process, which was really the most problematic thing about what was proposed at one point. So
so big picture.
That's kind of why we got to where we were.
Yeah. So big picture for our listeners out there on some of the, you could almost call it inside baseball stuff, but really this is big picture. So I've got a sign here in my studio that we are proud to feature. Save the Cowboys, stop the American Prairie Reserve. So people in Lewistown, Malta, all across Montana know exactly what that means. It means you've got foreign financiers funding outfits like the APR to kick Montana ranchers off the land. Well, those same foreign financiers, guys like Hans-Jörg Wies, not even an American citizen, he's from Switzerland. He funds all these radical left-wing causes, including the APR. And it was pointed out that basically Hans Wies has given $243 million to what's known as the 1630 Fund. And as a foreign national, He is prohibited from donating to American political candidates or influencing our national elections, but he was not prohibited from funding state ballot initiative campaigns. So that's kind of the big picture here, at least from my perspective.
Right, and there was that, candidate prohibition. It's provided in the U.S. code, but, not too long ago, the FEC pointed out that they didn't have the same authority for each state in the state's ballot issue process, right? So they said as far as having a the same or similar ban in the states for ballot issues, the states would have to do that themselves. And so that's what we're seeing that's being done now.
Interesting.
And that's what Montana did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to hear more. Hold that thought because we've got to take a quick break. But, yeah, we're Commissioner Gallis is going to be able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here, thankfully. Yeah, because then the question is, okay, is this new law tough enough? Because even some conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, they felt like it got so watered down and so weakened that they actually urged the governor to veto the bill. But in talking with Representative Mitchell, he feels confident that you may have the authority to stop this from happening. So what happens if they try to get around it? We'll start there right after this.
Securing America.
Meeting recruiting goals has been a problem for the U.S. Army recently, but not this year. Army leaders stated during an expo in Washington, D.C. Monday, this year's goals have already been met. Army Chief of Staff General Randy George.
We'll meet our mission this week. Close to 61,000 for a mission and then continue. These are some of the best recruiting months that we have ahead of us.
General George is also impressed with the recruits' level of technical expertise.
You give them something and they'll tell you if it works, if it doesn't, what it need, you know, what needs to be adjusted to make it better.
Army Secretary Dan Driscoll says retention goals have also already been met. Just halfway through the calendar year.
They're deciding, do they spend their lives with you? Do they bet their life on you?
The Army has not met its recruiting goals this early in the year since 2014. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I reported on this back in October of last year, October 2024, how foreign money is influencing elections in Montana right now. Fox News did a big spread on how Hans-Jörg Wies, he's like the George Soros here of the Rocky Mountain West, $60 billion, with a B, he injects into left-wing groups and causes. And this guy is a Swiss billionaire. But the Daily Wire also reported on how these guys are able to dump money into state elections vis-a-vis the ballot initiative process. Wies has given $243 million to the 1630 Fund. And then the 1630 Fund then funnels money into ballot initiative campaigns. And you think about some of the stuff that's being done via ballot initiative to outright change Montana law. And you could even argue change Montana culture. I mean, full-blown recreational legalized marijuana was done via ballot initiative. Practically no limits on abortion was done via ballot initiative. But what could they do to the landscape of Montana? If we can't stop a left-wing Swiss financier like Hans-Jörg Wies from getting involved in our elections, how are we going to stop the communist Chinese who have been acquiring farmland and trying to spy on our nuclear missile installations, et cetera. So Commissioner of Political Practices Chris Gallis, how do you believe that this new law, even though it was amended by Democrats and a handful of Republicans, how do you believe that this legislation still can be implemented with some teeth behind it?
Well, I think we kept the original purpose and intent of the law, and I would wholeheartedly say that having something in place that we can work on, that we can enforce and implement, is we're in a lot better position than having nothing at all. So I can be pretty emphatic about that. Now the question becomes, what we do with it, how we approach things. There's an opportunity now to take the law to implement some rules where we need to, or enhance existing rules, and if, one of which we already have, you know, to some degree that would cover the situation, I believe, as you described it, and that's, you know, the earmarking provision. So if it's expressed or implied that any of this, you know, money that's coming in for these efforts is intended, again, in whole or in part, for any purpose related to ballot issue, it already should be reported in that sense and under that particular, you know, rule and the laws as they're established.
And then what happens? What happens if they go around it? What happens if they? I guess what's the enforcement mechanism if they choose to just straight up ignore the law and ignore the reporting requirements? Like, let's say, for example, you have a Hans Jörg Wiese type of person funneling money into something like the 1630 fund, and then because next year, I mean, there's a ballot initiative proposal already in the works where basically these left wing operatives want to permanently, you know, they're trying to protect the left-wing control on the Montana Supreme Court right now. So they want to prevent people from being able to run for the Supreme Court with a partisan affiliation. So what's to stop a Hans Wiese and a 1630 fund from funneling money into that organization? And if they do it in violation of Montana law, where's the enforcement mechanism? Who goes after them and how?
Yeah, so... You know, it's my answer to that is it's this law that we now have that the governor signed with our rules and amended rules. So I'm going through that process now, and I'm able to go through it because, you know, Representative Mitchell and some of those final changes that got made in the conference committee moved up the effective date and did some other things. So we're working on those matters now, but the fact that we have the law, and I think that law is better as kind of this straightforward mechanism, like the existing candidate ban, which you can see in 1337.502, we really just kind of mimic that for the ballot issues rather than blending them through. So now we have a law, we'll enforce it. So the process that you asked about is that, you know, typically as it occurs that we receive a complaint in the office that's submitted under like the 1337.111.
So it's kind of up to the
statutory.
So it's kind of up to the, it's kind of up to the citizen watchdogs then. It's basically kind of up to the citizen watchdogs then to then file a complaint. Then you would investigate that, and then that's when it would be enforced. When it comes to detection of foreigners trying to directly get involved in these elections. All right, very interesting, Commissioner Gallus. Hold that thought. We got a caller on the phone lines with a quick question or a comment here as well. 406-294-0970. John in Kalispell, did you have a quick question or comment?
Commissioner Gallus, can you define the word foreigner and what does that mean? And here's a for instance. So can a foreign organization or an organization outside of the state put money into or create a subgroup in the state, fund the outside money into the state, and then funnel that to multiple left-wing groups that have already existed, such as Forward Montana, or, you know, a Pride group or Indian groups or other Northern Plains resources in order to assist candidates and or ballot measures to be voted on?
Great question. A lot packed in there. But, yeah, the point is that these foreigners like George Soros and Hans Wiese are funding all of these political groups, these radical environmental groups, the Forward Montana type groups that are influencing our politics from the local level to the state level, initiatives across the board. Commissioner, your thoughts?
Well, those, again, through the investigative process, if we have our complaints, we'll do those investigations. and with that earmarking provision, some of those other things in mind, I just think, you know, overall we're in a better position to have this law, accept a complaint, and be able to move through that, answer some of those questions, you know, find out what's going on through the course of an investigation and get an answer that's significant. And Aaron and John, as John knows too, I'm sure, you know, we have reached some fairly significant cases with large penalties, you know, over the years. You know, maybe not just in foreign funding, but in other matters that come before the office, contribution limits, large, you know, undisclosed contributions or expenditures that weren't reported. And it's a process. A lot goes into it, but we, you know, we have those resources. The office is used to doing it, and I think we can do it. I think that we can do it here.
Interesting. Yeah, especially because, you know, some of these groups, I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, obviously one of the biggest topics during last year's election year was, you know, this illegal immigration and the fact that the Mexican drug cartels in Tren de Aragua were operating on Montana soil. And some of the very people that they were targeting with meth and fentanyl and crime were the very, you know, Native Americans. But yet you had dark money groups like Western Native Voice downplaying the illegal alien invasion, downplaying the threat of the drug cartels, and going against the interests of Native Americans. But you know, groups like that were funded by foreign white guys like George Soros. So it also makes you wonder if the cartels might be funneling money into some of these groups as well.
I mean, we've got to watch all of those influences, particularly the foreign influences, and we're able to do that now. I expressed it at governor's staff as part of this, you know, process when the bill was heading their way, what our involvement was and what I intended to, you know, the steps I intended to take through rules, at, you know, will certainly involve the sponsor of the legislation, Representative Mitchell, to get some, you know, some thoughts, as well as reach out to, you know, other stakeholders. So there'll be a notice. Those rules will be published. The public is going to get an opportunity to comment on them.
Great.
We will be, you know, then we, you know, we take those comments, evaluate them, and modify what we propose based on those, or, you know, or not if, but we justify those.
Yeah. So the good news is with about, you know, less than a minute to go here, we really appreciate your time this morning, is that, hey, folks, get involved in this process. If you have ideas on how to prevent foreigners from influence on elections, get involved in this rulemaking process right now to help craft this with some teeth behind it.
And I'll email you when that notice is able to go out and what we're doing from time to time, Aaron, so that you can, at least let your listeners know to go onto our site. We do have a couple of other pretty exciting things, I think, that's going to add to the transparency for the office. So we'll probably communicate back with you. We're doing a number of trainings.
Please do that. That would be great. Okay. Yeah, please do that. Commissioner Chris Gallus, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
All right. Thanks, sir.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll love to get you back on and keep our listeners updated on all of those topics. All right. We've got the phone lines open for you right now. 406-294-0970. Susan in Missoula first up right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
If Congress doesn't extend current tax provisions, America's farmers and ranchers may be forced to pay up to $9 billion more in federal taxes every year. That's according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. They say tax relief enacted by the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is set to expire at the end of this year, which would lead to tax increases for almost two-thirds of families, including those in rural America. Farm Bureau notes that each dollar that comes out of a farm family's bank account to pay taxes is one less they can spend on improving their operations, one less to hire another worker, and one less they can put toward growing food, fiber, and fuel. The average American farm or ranch would pay an additional $5,125 per year in taxes, according to projections. Purdue University researchers have developed a low-cost paper-based test to quickly detect avian influenza in the field. Using oral and nasal swabs, the test works across multiple species, including poultry, livestock, wildlife, and humans, making it ideal for areas lacking lab access. Researchers note the role of avian influenza is contributing to higher costs of eggs due to the falling levels of supplies in the country. Other factors add to the costs, including rigorous and expensive protection measures for enhanced sanitation on farms. Those are your Ag Headlines. I'm Wayne Northland.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So the Montana Chronicles is a relatively new, new account, new author writing on Montana politics. The Montana Chronicles had this headline: Missoula pushes LGBT agenda, adopts pride flag as an official city flag in opposition to new state law. So they've now made the rainbow LGBTQ transgender cultish flag their official city flag. It was a 9-2 vote in the city council. One of the common sense city council members, Sandra Vasica, obviously voted against that effort. She's going to join us here in just a second. It looks like she was able to get done with her meetings this morning and will join us here very shortly here on Montana Talks. Governor Greg Gianforte now weighing in as well. First, though, let's go to Susan in Missoula. Susan, what's your thoughts?
Well, this is Susan Campbell Pinot. And as you know, Aaron, because you've been a speaker for me numerous times, I organize all of the ceremonies honoring our American history and our veterans in Missoula. And I'm going to tell you, I am horrified. I am absolutely embarrassed. And I will loudly object at during the public comment time next Monday night at 6 p.m. at City Hall in Missoula, and I am calling all veterans that care about the respect of the American flag to come to that meeting and very politely for 2 minutes present their opinions to the city council, because they need to hear from it, because I am horrified to imagine that this flag, which only represents a minuscule minority, is going to be flying instead of officially recognized flags like the American flag and the POWMIA flag. And I'm going to tell you, this is probably going to spread to Bozeman, and it may spread to some of the more liberal enclaves, but those are the two that I imagine it's going to happen.
Yeah, it started in Boise. Yeah, and then Missoula followed suit.
I am horrified. And so, again, I want veterans and people who love the American flag to come out politely to the Missoula City Council for open comments. And that starts at 6 p.m. in the City Hall, which is right across the street from the county courthouse.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, it's the American flag is for all of us, every single one of us, regardless of race, creed, color, background, you name it. That's what that flag stands for. This is just, it's embarrassing, as Susan put it. It's disgraceful. It's divisive. They're simply pushing their far-left political cult-like agenda and shoving it down the throats of everybody in Missoula. Governor Greg Gianforte said this last night. He tweeted this out yesterday. 9 members of the Missoula City Council made clear their top priority is flying a divisive pride flag over government government buildings and schools, all while ignoring the city's housing affordability crisis, raising taxes by 17% because of overspending, and refusing to take firm action to end encampments in the city. The governor wrote, "Missoulians deserve better." And fortunately, two council members voted against imposing this divisive far-left agenda on their community. One of those city council members, Sandra Vasica, with us now on the phone lines. Commissioner or council member Vasica, thanks for being with us once again.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, there's so many important issues that the city council should be tackling. But, you know, boy, just wave that flag and forget about, you know, transients defecating in the water fountains in city parks. Forget about the drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River. Forget about 20% tax hikes.
Yeah, and we do try to tackle all those things, and I definitely have those at the top of my priority list, which, of course, some tax decreases are at the top of my priority list. Occasionally, we can take up other things, and if we just did want to have a discussion about an official city flag, I think that we should have had a robust public interest in it, because being proud of your city is one thing, but having just one specific pride flag of a very different topic is a completely different thing. And this caught us completely off guard, because the normal process for things to go through to a Monday night meeting is we have a full discussion about it on our Wednesday committee meetings. And this one, we didn't go to committee meetings. We got notice on last Friday afternoon, that this is going to be for a final vote on Monday. So we have the weekend to know about or to find out about it. And then that Monday, so what was it, 3 days instead of a full week? And, I mean, thankfully, the sponsor, Jennifer Savage, did reach out to me Friday evening and let me know, like, hey, this is going to be on the agenda. So at least it didn't catch me completely off guard. But this came out of absolute nowhere. We got a lot of emails over the past week, probably hundreds of emails asking us to adopt an official city flag to circumvent House Bill 819. I didn't think that was going to go anywhere. But then Jennifer Savage took it upon herself to do something about it, and that is her prerogative. But I think that we went about this very quickly, very divisively, and I think that is opening a can of worms and is going to have very consequential consequences that we can't even imagine.
Yeah, I think there's some, like yesterday we had John Jackson with us on the show, the Joker from X, who's very conservative, and he's like, you know what? Go for it, city of Missoula. Keep it up. Keep doing this stuff. And what he's saying, and what a lot of people are saying, is like, you know, the more they push this stuff, the more they overreach, the crazier they get, the more they push people, the more they prompt a response. And so it's interesting because, you know, Boise, Idaho, really what the leftists on the Missoula City Council did was they just copycatted what Boise, Idaho did last month, frankly. And now they're trying so hard to shove this down everybody's throats that it's actually prompting a backlash. It's like this radical transgender agenda went so far, taking away girls' sports opportunities, that now people are pushing back. And Boise, Idaho, for example, they couldn't even get enough people to show up for their Pride Month festivities. They had to cancel the event. But, oh, keep flying your little flag.
Yeah, and I mean, you do what you want to do on your own free time, but taking an official government stance that is supposed to be inclusive of everybody that we represent, every one of my constituents, this definitely does not represent all of our constituents. To be truly inclusive, we need to remain neutral, and we need to uphold our public trust by doing that. And a lot of public comment was saying that the Pride flag isn't political. It's a sign of love and unity. But you have to be so naive to believe that it's not a political symbol. The BLM flag is a political symbol. Even the Thin Blue Line flag is a political symbol. The Don't Tread on Me flag is a political symbol. All these flags are, you look at them, somebody has them hanging up on their house, and you believe that they have certain ideals about that household. You have to be super naive to think that adopting this Pride flag as an official city flag did not create even more divisiveness within our community. Because I can see it in my emails. I can see it on social media, the news. It has opened up so much divisiveness in our community, and it breaks my heart that this happened.
It was interesting what you said, too, about how when you first heard that they were going to try to do this, you thought, it sounded too crazy even for Missoula crazy.
Yeah, Yeah, it did catch me off guard. And it was interesting because the city attorney on our Monday night meeting said that his reading of the Bill 819 said that a city can have an official flag. But his interpretation was you can only have one official flag. There was another counselor that said, you know, I disagree with your decision on that. We're just adopting this as an official flag. But, I mean, according to the city attorney, who is a lawyer, I believe that this is the official city flag of Missoula. If you have a Wikipedia page, that's going to be the city flag. And if we want to adopt another one, we'll have to repeal this flag to have that as the city flag. So, as of now, the pride flag is Missoula City official city flag. So that is something that we have to wear on our city, and it's very it does not include everybody in Missoula, and everyone is very, very upset.
Yeah, like you say, it's deeply offensive to so many people. It's deliberately divisive, and it is seen as basically them taking a political stance on things and using government buildings in order to you know, shove that down everybody's throats. Let's see, Brandon in Kalispell, did you have and Sandy, stand by if you can. Brandon in Kalispell, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I got several, Aaron, but, you know, the one that I guess I'd like to, let's just hit this flag thing real quick. If you want to reveal the complete hypocrisy of this whole gay pride, LGBTQIMSTXUV baloney, why don't we just start pushing through a MAGA flag that, you know, a great big red, white, and blue, make America great again, and you watch how hard they're going to fight that, because their little religious cult movement is great for them, but what they always refer to as a religious cult movement is something that's unacceptable.
Yeah, cover the peace sign with it, huh? Yeah, hold that thought. Let's see, Brandon, I'll come back to you. I know you have more comments, so stand by. We'll come back to you. Hey,
broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got a kick out of Jesse Ramos's post on X as well. He's a former Missoula City Council member. Yeah, talking about Missoula, bold leadership on full display. Just not for taxpayers, prospective homebuyers, crime victims, public school kids, or anyone trying to drive without blowing a tire in a massive pothole. But they're flying their flag, aren't they, Jesse? Let's go back. We got Brandon in Kalispell. Brandon, I think you had another topic or two you wanted to mention as well.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to say, you know, it also points out if we were to push a MAGA flag, how divisive that whole situation is. I mean, there's so many things we could get together around, like, you know, the stop addiction or cancer awareness. There's so many things we can all agree on. Why do they push so hard for a major divisive, as you say, issue that could be countered with something that would even create more division? I mean, I'm not in favor of creating more division, but I'm not in favor of community creating division in the first place. And they always seem to step right up to swing, but as soon as the counter swing comes, they're claiming victim right away. The other one, a couple of them, one of them is the whole Planned Parenthood funding, and you can tie that in with all the, you know, PBS funding as well. When I was growing up, I was told Planned Parenthood received millions of tax dollars because they catered to the people who couldn't afford health insurance, or to children who are on parents who are scared to get to admit to their parents that they've gotten pregnant. But with Obamacare, I was told it's medical care for everyone. And if we don't have medical care, we're charged for not having medical care. So if we've got real Obamacare and it's medical care for everyone, then why does Planned Parenthood need millions of dollars to support those that don't have medical insurance when they're selling a byproduct to their ridiculous behavior for millions of dollars?
That's a great point. And everybody will tell you that Planned Parenthood, they straight up lie to the people. They use the money coming in from the feds over here to subsidize their abortion mill industry. So when they try to claim that they don't use federal taxpayer funds for abortions, it's a bunch of BS. No, that's a great point you made there, Brandon. Thanks so much for the phone call. Eric in Missoula messaged us on the Montana Talks app and said that Missoula City Council member Mike Nugent apparently said the Confederate flag could fly at City Hall as well during the meeting if they're going to be flying stuff like this. Sam in Kalispell says, I don't see Kalispell today passing a new flag for the city. But he says, my concern is this. We need conservatives to file for city council because Kalispell could flip blue this election year. So thanks for raising that red flag, Sam and Kalispell. City Council Member Sandy Vasica out of Missoula. Yeah, what else? Any thoughts on what Brandon had to say or anything else there?
You know, I just need people to be really aware. The one good thing about what happened with this is that it is bringing people out of the woodworks. A lot of people, especially conservatives, libertarians, independents, they vote and then they move on with their day and they go to work, they provide for their family. They don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of politics. Unfortunately, everybody has to come out of the woodwork and pay attention to what their city councils and their local county commissioners are doing, because there's some crazy stuff that's going on here. We folks are taking the reins of not just taking care of taxpayer due diligence, but doing a lot of other things that I feel are outside the purview of our office. So we do need people that are really fiscally conservative, very like moderate in nature. I don't need a bunch of more really left-leaning folks that I have to fight, really fight against, because it's really just me and Bob on a council that are really trying to fight for the taxpayer dollars and fight for what I assume is common sense. Because, like I said, I believe that we need to remain neutral, and this was a very much not neutral. This was very divisive. And, I just need people to pay attention. Come to the Monday night meeting at City Council Chambers next Monday at 6 p.m. at 140 West Pine Street next to the Mar Bar. And let us know your thoughts, because the reason why this passed by is because everybody who wanted the Pride flag as an official flag bombarded our email. And then that's when Jennifer ran with it.
So it was AstroTurf. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Well, and it's I just got to laugh, too, because no matter whether you're, you know, Christian, Jewish, straight, black, white, brown, whatever, if you have a rainbow flag sticker on your car, you're still going to pay 17% more in taxes thanks to these left-wing wackos on the city council. So, you know what? No matter what you do in your bedroom, they're still going to reach into your pocket and take a bunch of your money. So that's what you get. That's what you get in Missoula, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that brings up the budget seasons this year. There wasn't a lot of public turnout last year, so come to council in August and let us know your thoughts. And like I was saying during the meeting on Monday, you can wear a pride pin if that's what you incline. Like I paid to the 1776 Foundation to have the Don't Tread on Me license plate on my car so I can express my personal values without infringing on everybody else's personal values. There are so many different ways that you as an individual can express yourself without it being an official government opinion or official government stance. And this just, it blows my mind that we, that this council, actually it shouldn't blow my mind because I totally thought of coming once I thought on the agenda.
You've seen but it time and time again, yeah. Well, Sandy Vasica, great job as always. Thanks so much for calling in. I know it was a little last minute request, but it's great to hear your perspective. Greatly appreciate it.
Anytime. Always love your show. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you. All right. What do we got coming up on Thursday? Hey, right now, open phones. But you never know what can happen in the meantime. There's all sorts of crazy out there, right?